The soldier's shoes, not for style, but for functionality. We're looking at Ephesians 6, verse 11 and 15, kind of skipping over some of the stuff. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is the word for deceit, of sneakiness. Verse 15 then adds, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now I want you to remember the phrase, the preparation of the gospel of peace, because we're going to try to get a clear understanding, and it's not precisely clear to me, and therefore probably not to you, because I'm going to try to explain it. But I think we'll get pretty close. The preparation of the gospel of peace. So let me say that in the symbolism of Paul's encouragement here, let us ask ourselves, what are the shoes? With what does he want our feet shod? This is, you see the there at the bottom, and these boots protect the shin as well. Not a situation for bare feet. This is a battle. It's not a stroll through the spring grass. It is not wading in the cool water of a sandy beach, even though the shells can be kind of rough once in a while. It is not standing on cushioned carpet of your home. This is battle. This is battle. Spurgeon said, do we have another picture? We show that, okay. The Christian was evidently intended to be in motion. For here, shoes are for his feet. Now, this isn't just for standing, it's standing in the battle, which means keep on standing, you see. J. Dwight Pentecost, great help in the things of the future, has a great big book, Things to Come. If a Roman soldier were being sent into battle, he laid aside his lightweight sandals and put on a pair of heavy, thick-soled shoes. In the soles of these shoes, hobnails were embedded in order that the soldier might have a firm and secure footing when he met the enemy in battle. So I have a picture of the shoes. Where is that? Coming up. There we go. So if you are golfers, you probably know you have the shoes with the little needle things in them. This is that when you're ready to swing and so on, the feet aren't moving. You can get as firm a grip as possible. And so track shoes have these spikes. This is the idea of getting traction when you're on ground or other hard things. All right. Let's look then, first of all, at defining Paul's terms. Shod is literally having, in the past, your feet shod, having something on your feet. So this is a picture of something that was given you at salvation. Like we have seen before, the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes are something that we have. This is not something we have to find and put on in our Christian life. This is something we begin with. So, and the idea of having in the past your feet shod, it's as though you had somebody who put these shoes on you, you see. Then secondly, this word preparation, the preparation of the gospel of peace. This word preparation actually comes from a root word for fitness. Something that makes you fit. This means the condition of a person as prepared. This is preparedness or readiness, being made ready. Let's see. And then the gospel, Paul defines the gospel to the Corinthian church. So people use the word gospel for all kinds of things. Telling the gospel truth, you know. They don't even know what they're talking about. But the gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again from the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and he goes on to list other appearances. So the gospel refers to events that happened by Jesus Christ, things that he accomplished. So it's two things with extra proof added. Christ died for our sins. He didn't just die. He died with a purpose. He died to accomplish something. He died for our sins. And the proof that he died was that he was buried. Then he arose from the dead, and the proof is his appearances. He appeared to people, eyewitnesses there, and people that you could go and talk to at the time that these things were written. So Paul defines the power of the gospel in the book of Romans. Listen to this story of what Christ did. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power." This is that word dunamis. We get our word dynamo, dynamic from it, but it actually comes down to the essential meaning of ability. You either have the ability or you don't have the ability to do something. And this is the power, this is the ability of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's the gospel, the record of what Christ did, dying for our sins, rising from the dead, that gives God the power, the ability to save us who believe. This is the essence of it. The Calvinist wants to make it only God's work. When they say that salvation is by God alone, they mean you don't have anything to do with it. He just does it, and you just have to wake up to the fact. They call that God-honoring, but actually that leads to all kinds of problems, logistically, logically. So it, the gospel, the message that you can share with others, is the power of God, God's power unto salvation. There is a process that even God had to go through to get this done. And Christ was that process. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then he says the gospel of peace. What kind of gospel is he talking about there? Strong, who did the Strong's exhaustive concordance, defined the Greek word as used here, the tranquil state, restful state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God. If the thought of your death comes to you, I hope that you recognize that I don't think I fear death. Now, tell me that it's going to happen in the next few minutes. I may develop a fear here, but I'm not looking forward to death because it probably hurts. I'm just saying, likely, horrible stories of people's death at the time when they were cutting people's heads off with the guillotine. You understand that you live in your head. That's where you are. So if you cut somebody's head off, what you're really doing is cutting their body off. You see what I'm saying? They would see the head fall into the basket, roll around, and the eyes look around. It hadn't quite died yet, blood loss. So where suddenly the basket hit them in the face, they rolled around, they're looking up, I'm in a basket, and then they died. So most often, death is not instantaneous. I kind of like the idea of dying in my sleep, where I'm probably in some strange dream, and then it kind of pops open and I'm with God in heaven. But let it be the gospel of peace to you. We're going into a battle. Battle sometimes has casualties, problems, difficulties. But you can have peace. You can enter into it with a tranquil heart, a peaceful heart, because this battle is the Lord's. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, it doesn't rest on your good works. Don't say, I'm not sure I was good enough to be accepted of God. It's not about your good enough. It's about Christ's good enough. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The thoughts that I have about this is that I'll be here in the struggle, in the fight, in the work, and then I'll be looking at Christ face to face. This one that I've loved so long, faith to faith, I see him face to face. And he will be looking at me. He will be seeing me. And he says, it's okay now. Everything's okay now. Peace. Imagine that, the trial of the death, the struggle of the death, whatever it is. It just happens pretty quickly. And we're with him. Peace. All right. The gospel of peace, preparedness, fitness of presenting this gospel. So the purpose of shoes. Now, this is kind of simple, and we're not talking about fashion purposes. We're not talking about you ladies that decide you want those, you know, 6-inch spikes, walk around like you're on stilts. Now, I'm not making fun of the ladies. I wore the platform shoes in the whenever that time was that we were wearing stupid stuff, and then I gave up on that because I was walking across the street and I stepped on a pebble like this and I fell off my stilt. I'm rolling in the street because I couldn't hold my foot up, you know. And I said, okay, that's stupid. I like being taller. I think guys just like being taller. But I wasn't gonna roll around the street for this stupid fashion, so I got rid of my platform shoes. So what is the purpose of shoes? Well, particularly for the battle, the soldier's shoes, protection. The injured foot takes you out of the battle. It makes you unable to stand, you see. And this is our goal, isn't it? This fight is to stand. Keep on standing. Don't fall. And secondly, firm footing. Those hobnail thing gave you traction, see. Keeps you from being knocked over. There's an interesting picture of being knocked over. The purpose of the church is to bring you up to a level of maturity that you're not getting knocked over all the time. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth, that after we mature in him, we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. When the wind knocks you over, you know you're not stable, right? Of course, there's pretty strong winds too. By the sleight of men, this is the sleight of hand. See, here's your problem right here. Ha, it's not there. This is that sleight of men. This is the deceit of men. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So here he pictures us as children being tossed to and fro with every wind. It's like in the waves where you're just being tossed, or in the wind being tossed around. And he says you need to be able to have a strong stance, to be firm. And the third thing is traction. Traction is where you're not slippery. I give in to these videos ever so often. They pop up on my Facebook Then I start watching, and then I look around. Hey, it's been half an hour. I've been looking at these stupid things. But people are walking down the steps, and then they slip on the ice on the steps, and they go, and I go, it wasn't me. They fell down. I didn't. But traction. The traction is the opposite of backsliding. You see, traction is where you're staying firm. The one prepared is described in Psalm 26:1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. Walked. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I can stand. I can be firm. Psalm 37:31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps, his goings, shall slide. Because you're on firm foundation. The one that's unprepared is described, Jeremiah 8:5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. They were fooled into doubting God, and they didn't repent. They didn't return. Hosea 4:16, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. I'm not sure exactly what picture that conjures up, but some, I don't know, must be in the slick mud or something. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Israel just backsliding, you see. So let's not be those who lose traction. All right, then let's ask the question, what is the result of good shoes in the battle? Well, let's examine this symbolism, and our text is in Ephesians. Let's just walk through Ephesians and see walking in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:2, just going to give you a list of verses. Consider what Paul had in mind, what God had in mind when he had Paul write this. Ephesians 2:2, where in time past, before you were saved, you walked according to the course of this world. You had taken your map from the world's way, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. He's not the prince of hell. He's not in hell. Hell is the lake of fire. He'll get there, and he will not be ruling there. He will not be torturing other people. He will be tortured. It is a place made for the devil and his angels. So it's set up for their punishment. The Spirit, he is the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Those who disobey God are very strict in their obedience to the devil. That's what it says. Walking that way. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are to do good works. We can do that now because we have the righteousness of God put into our heart, which God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. We should walk, our life walk ought to be in good works. From one to the next, to the next. Sometimes it's preparing for the next and all that kind of stuff, but it's good works. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, or in the Lord, beseech you, beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling wherewith you are called. God has called you to this battle. He's called you to be a soldier to fight. Walk worthy of that. Walk, dare I say, proudly that we serve a God who called us to this job. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. He's writing to Gentiles who have been saved, but he says, don't look like the other guys. Don't look like the world around you. Don't look like, don't smell like, don't act like, don't sound like. Be different, you see. Don't walk in their walk, because they're walking in what? The vanity, the purposelessness of their mind. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Very often, as he talks about the love of God, he's not talking about loving feelings and dainty attitudes. He's saying sacrificial love. He defines love here, Christ's love for us, as giving himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes in the past darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk like you have seen the light. Walk like you know what is true. Walk in the practice of your life like you know what God has said. And then we'll stop with Ephesians 5:16. See then that you walk circumspectly. Somebody defined this a long time ago, and I always see this in my mind. The lady dressed in the big hoop skirt, you know what I mean? Where they put hula hoop or something, at the base of the big skirt, and so they're walking. But now she has to walk across some wet and muddy thing. And so she's taking a dainty step, but where is she looking? Well, all around, circumspect, looking at it all around, and just checking, am I dipping, am I tilting, and being very, very careful like this. And this is the idea, it's not the daintiness of it, but walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Another one of those videos that I see of people walking, looking at their phones, walking into signs, walking into, well, dropping off into fountains. that's walking like a fool. If you're going to be walking, pay attention to where you're going. Now, the purpose of the shoes here is reflected as well when we recognize the emphasis in this battle is us to keep standing. Stand and fight. Keep fighting to the end. I have mentioned before what a grievous thing it is to me to hear of people who stood firm, stood sound, and then got tired of standing, and then it was found out that they were, you know, having an affair, or they were stealing money, or whatever the situation was, and they began to express their doubts about all these things being true. Man, get that settled before you start preaching, would you please? But the emphasis on standing, let me emphasize that. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, for the purpose that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That is, the battle is done and you're standing. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod. So, have a good preparedness of the gospel. This is wielding the sword of the Spirit, but it is you prepared, your heart is prepared to share the gospel of peace with people that are less than peaceful. We need to see the fear of slipping. Psalm 17:5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The Hebrew, be not moved. Take my hand, blessed Lord, you see. Take my hand, hold me, lest I fall. Psalm 18:36. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip, mine ankles even. Psalm 73:2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. But then he reflected, Asaph in Psalm 73, reflected on how he was being jealous of the wicked. And he says, wait a minute, I get heaven, they get hell. I'm okay. Think of the problem of stumbling, especially in warfare. Stumbling puts you down. Isaiah 5:27, None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. In this battle that he's describing here, God has helped them, and they are not stumbling. Isaiah 8:15, and many among them shall stumble and fall, be broken, be snared, caught in a trap, and be taken. So we don't want that. Isaiah 59:10-12. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar, cry out, all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. Justice here, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. You see our sins. We minimize them, you maximize them. Are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. So this is that failure when we are getting paid for doing wrong. And then point E, standing is not falling. A couple of verses here that explain this. Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, you see. Not stand or sit, not stand or lay down, is fall. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So the point here is, the shoes give you a foundation. The gospel of peace, my pastor, as I was growing up, would often use this illustration about a man who was asked to hang a painting or something at his house, and he couldn't reach up to where it needed to be. It was a big painting and a nail needed to go up. So his wife says, not a problem. She brings over a stack of magazines and set it down there, and he stepped up there, and he said, no, I need some more. So he took a little stool and put the magazines on top of that, and he's climbing up there, and he's balancing. And so anyway, he's tapping, and then he's catching his balance and tapping again. She says, just give it a good whack. And he says, I don't have any kind of a foundation to give it a good whack. And he said, if you're not at peace with God in your salvation, if you do not have the assurance of your salvation, that's your number one duty right now. Get that right. You say, how would I do that? Well, the fear is that you're not really saved. Take it for that and get saved. You go before God, you confess your sins, you ask him to save you, you ask him to be your savior. This is what getting right feels like, even if you are saved. So it's the same thing. Get right with God. So get that peace. Then you have the foundation to strike something for the Lord. Let's close with the meaning of shoes as a defense. We're talking here about an armor and defense. Let's talk about shoes as a defense. Now we'll go back to the spike heels. I think that would be, no, that's more offense, isn't it? Okay. Two things. One is assurance of salvation, as I was saying. You wonder, is it possible for us to really know? Yes, absolutely. 1 John 5:13. Circle this in your Bible. Put a star by it. Memorize it. Memorize it often. You'll lose it after a while. Go back and memorize it again. These things, John says, have I written unto you, the church that he was writing to, you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why did I write it? That you may know that you have eternal life, everlasting life. You can know this. and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, the one strengthens the other. I want you to be able to say, I have received Christ, I am saved, I am a child of God, I will be taken to heaven when I die, if and when I die, and I know this. This is part of the things I know. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, little known preacher, now one of the great ones. When we know that, as the Lord looks on us, his glance is full of infinite, undivided affection, that he sees us in Jesus Christ as cleansed from every speck of sin and as accepted in the Beloved, that by virtue of a complete sacrifice, we are forever reconciled to God. Then do we march through life without fear, booted and buskined, that's that wrap around your shin, for all the exigencies of the way, yea, ready to plunge through fire and water, thorn and thistle, brake and briar without fear. Just stomp through it and keep standing. Assurance of salvation, it's your foundation. And then let me close with bringing in a host of witnesses here. Assurance of God's blessing, that God is going to bless. One preacher, I can't remember now why I don't have his name, but sometimes people quote other preachers. So I'm quoting him, but I don't know his name. He said, it is not a question of carrying the gospel to others. It is our feet that are shod with this preparation. Not our heart, not our voice. It is a peace which God has preached to us in it, the peace with himself, which gives peace. Therefore, as to all things, for if God be for us, who can be against us? It is this peace that arms the feet. Now we got body parts, arms the feet. Then for all the difficulties of the way. The preparedness then is the fact that this is true and you know it. John Calvin, a great linguist. What is the meaning of the word preparation? Some explain it as an injunction, a call to be prepared for the gospel, but it is the effect of the gospel, which I consider to be likewise expressed by this term. In other words, you are saved when you have these shoes, and so you're fit. The preparedness is the fitness for the work. Charles Hodge, a great theologian, the sense is your feet shod with the alacrity. I was a little mixed up on alacrity, but it means quickness and even enthusiasm. With the alacrity which the gospel of peace gives, the quickness, the urgent sense of urgency. As the gospel secures our peace with God and gives the assurance of his favor, it produces the joyful alacrity of mind which is essential to success in the spiritual conflict. All doubt tends to weakness. Despair is death. So it's the opposite of those. And then John Gill, great Baptist of nearly 100 years before Spurgeon. The word used signifies a base of foundation. And so it is used by the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, in Zechariah 5:11, and he said unto me, to build in a house in the land of Shinar, it shall be established and thereupon set upon and set there upon her own base. He says this is the word they chose that Paul uses here. Here it designs a firm and solid knowledge of the gospel as it publishes peace by Jesus Christ, which yields a sure foundation. Again, that concept of knowing what you're talking about, knowing that it's real, knowing that you know it, you're sharing what you know, not a religious thought here, something that you know. Designs a firm and solid knowledge of the gospel as it publishes peace by Jesus Christ, which yields a sure foundation for the Christian soldier to set his foot upon, to stand fast, to stand securely on, it being that to him as the shoe is to the foot, its base or foundation. All right. Well, let's make sure that we're fully shoed for the battle. Let's pray. Our Father, we recognize that it's not a choice whether we're in the battle or not. We would like to live at peace with all men. But we're in the battle, and the battle is coming against us. We ask, Father, that we don't have to be belligerent. We don't have to be argumentative. We can be peaceful people, prepared with our own peace, settled in that, upon a great foundation of the knowledge of our salvation and the knowledge that you have offered this salvation to all who will believe. They can have it, and they can experience it as we have. Help us then to be solidly upon a base of a strong foundation, keeping our traction, not backsliding, not losing our way, but not stumbling upon the path, but marching true and faithful under the banner of love, your banner. We ask that you might guide and direct us then in the battle, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.